Good afternoon, everyone. This is Sonia with Honest Dialogue with Sonia McGirt. Today, our guest is going to be Ed Roman. He is a musician, but I'm going to let him fill you guys in on all the information about himself and his music. So I'm going to go ahead and get him on the line. Hi, Ed.
Hello, Sonia. How are you, my dear?
How are you? Good. It's a little rainy here. I'm hoping that the storm don't knock anything out, but I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. We're just getting through an ice storm in the past couple weeks ourselves and lost a lot of trees, so I've been in cleanup mode, if you will. Got the chainsaw running and cutting up as much wood as I can and bramble for a wood kiln because we make a lot of pottery here on the farm, so it's fodder
Oh, wow.
For material, but it's always sad to see an old tree come down, you know.
I just had to have one pulled down, and it was so rotten that it was already halfway, it had fell, and so half of it was broke, but the other half was not, and it was just so rotten that the guy he was a big guy, but he pushed it, and it just fell right on over. But a storm had took it out, too, so it's kind of nasty this way. But I'm going to go ahead and ask you to give everybody a little intro about yourself. And kind of give
well,
us
sure.
an idea of, you know, who Ed is.
yeah, call me Ed, you know. My mom calls me Edward, and when I'm in trouble, it's Edward, so. But, you know, music is my life. I've been pursuing what music is and what it's all about and trying to learn as much as I can about as many instruments and all sort of genres of music. I mean, ever since I was five, you know, I kind of had the light put in me then. You know, I grew up in the 70s, so, you know, Brothers and Sisters records were always flowing around the house of practically every genre you could think of, from folk to rock to funk to R&B, soul, disco era was coming, you know, into that time frame, late 70s. And also at the same time, like three generations of people living in one house. So my grandparents were very into music, especially my grandmother, and, you know, she loved a wide variety of stuff, not just stuff from the old country, but, you know, she loved Elvis Presley and the Beatles and Sinatra and, you know, just about anything. She was always singing, and there was always a radio or something like that playing in the house, and, you know, it was even competitive at points to, you know, amongst brothers and sisters to learn lyrics to songs. And growing up in the 70s, too, there was amazing theme shows for television, so, you know, music, so it was like, well, can you learn all the lyrics for, you know, All in the Family, you know, and what are they saying there at that point, you know, all of that was like, for me, I love this, is something, and I saw the electricity in people's hearts when they got excited about it, so, you know, I made a lot of little songs up when I was a kid. My mom gave me this guitar from the world famous Knapsack company. It was missing a bunch of strings, and we had an old upright piano from the Heinzman company in the front hall, and that was, I was always dabbling in it. And you got to also understand, and listening audience too must realize, it's like there was no internet, there was no handheld phones every moment of your life inundated with information. The tools that you got, as simple as they were like a vehicle for you to, you know, do things. And it seemed like our little neighborhood was a microcosm of the right kind of people all to sort of inspire each other as well as, you know, push each other and start our first bands together and, you know, recording projects as kids. We didn't go skiing or hiking or camping at March break. We, you know, locked ourselves in a room somewhere with some recording equipment and tried to make records. So for me, you know, it was always something I wanted to do. And at the same time, studying it in college and all through high school, and it was always just some exposure and mass exposure most of the time because I got the bug and I couldn't put my instruments down, especially my bass and my guitar. And, you know, I went to college, and at the same time out of that, learned a lot by playing a lot of music with a lot of different people. You know, there's a saying that says, let every man be my mentor so that I may learn from them. So, you know, I'm lucky that I've had exposure to, you know, playing in an African band, playing in a funk band, playing in a rock band, playing in a country band, playing all of that, you know, is that sort of pool, that mixing pool for information, you know. You know, one of my mentors from a completely different perspective is like Tesla. And aside from the things that Nikola Tesla created and that we use every day, when you look back at, you know, who he was as a younger person, in terms of education, and, you know, I'm a big proponent of education too, because I've also been a music teacher for 25 years. So how you cross-reference creates new things. If I was to say to you, Sonia, you go to the other side of the pond, it's still right now, and I'll sit here on this side, and you throw a stone on your side, and I'll throw a stone, each of us will create a ripple. And eventually those two ripples will meet and create a unique ripple that's based on both of those two things coalescing. So I that's what music is to me. It's this continual search for, you know, not only, you know, writing music and telling stories, but as I get older, I start to realize more and more that the music is telling me more about the situation that I'm trying to figure out about what it is. So it becomes this, you know, historical aspect to your life. It becomes physical. Music is physical. It takes stamina to do certain things in music. It's cerebral. There are all these things that, you know, I love about it, and I'm not going to stop till they put me in the ground.
In the grave. Well, I know a lot of people say music talks to them, so I'm a music fanatic. I think most people are in some aspect, but now you grew up playing very young. How young were you when you started, did you say?
Five and six is when I started dabbling on the piano and the guitar. But then it was when I got to, like, grade school, it was right at that point in, like, 77, 78, they removed the music programs in the schools because it wasn't cost-effective. So I didn't really have that hands-on experience to good teaching until high school. But once I got there, it was like, okay, open the gate, I'm ready to go.
Okay. Now, I know that I've read a little bit about some of the awards that you were nominated for and some that you actually received. You want to tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. I mean, it's been amazing this last year and a half. The Letters from High Latitudes has been, you know, up for so many different things, and the nominations are wonderful to get. I'm happy to get any nomination or any kind of recognition. What's the guilds themselves, whether they're the International Entertainment Music Association, the Independent Music Awards, the Academia Awards, the latest one is the Indie Music Channel Awards in Los Angeles, which is happening this weekend. They're all guilds that, you know, are not just based on money and sales. They're, you know, looking at your contribution to American culture, and you know, I'm proud of that. I'm super proud to be in that boat of people that are thinking about the art that way. And most recently too, there were 7 pre-Grammy nominations for 4 of the tracks that were off that last record, and that's some pretty strong competition. But you know, good Canadian boy makes good. So the way I'm looking at it is that I'm getting my foot in the door. I'm happy to receive any award and any nomination. I'm just happy that people are paying attention and I get to practice my craft.
It takes a long time to get your foot in the door, it seems, with anything.
Yeah.
Writing books, I write books, and it you know, it starts off really slow. It's not like you write a bestseller as soon as you write it. And it you can't give up. You just have to keep pressing forward. And you get kind of frustrated at one point or another. I think we all do, and go, gosh, is it ever going to happen? You know, am I going to actually sell enough to actually make me a little bit of money off of it? Because sometimes you kind of go in debt with writing. But I enjoy it, so I'm not going to quit it. I'm like you. I mean,
no, you got to keep doing
it. Passion for. Yeah. Not everybody can say they do what they love. You know, some people
well,
are sitting at a desk
it.
And hate their job.
And my grandfather, you know, I mean, because we worked with our hands, we had the farm. It was more like, you know, be happy doing what you're doing and try to find sustenance also in other places too. I mean, you know, that's the thing about our society today is it's so, you know, materialistically driven, and everybody's looking for a push button sort of solution to so many things. But your point so eloquently put, Sonia, is that the reality is we have to keep doing it because we love it. That's why art, literature, anything like that exists. And my producer, Michael Jack, if he's listening, he's a voracious reader, and he's always reading biographies and things about different artists' lives and stuff, and a lot of musicians, obviously. But, you know, they were all struggling. There was, like, you know, a band that we look at today or an artist may have put out four or five records before they actually had the acclamation. And to me, I'm always reminding myself that also that also comes with stature, like time, you know, is what builds that. Willie Nelson, when he first came out and was doing what he was doing, he was, okay, he was Willie, but then he started writing, you know, Patsy Cut, Crazy, and everything started to change for him. But, you know, now when you go check him out at his age and he's still doing what he's doing, you're like, man,
oh, yeah.
I'm watching Willie.
Yeah, you're like amazed. It's like, you know, I don't believe in.
He's a legend,
you know.
From, you know?
Yeah, exactly. He's what some people say are the man, you know, he's, which there's quite a few in music. It's hard to just pinpoint one awesome musician, just like an author. There's so many awesome authors or writers or actors or actresses or whatever. I do know that I read also that you're going to be touring soon, which is something interesting. Is this something you've never done before, or is it something you have done?
Last year I was from Austin to New York, and I've been playing a lot. I've been on the road a number of times as a sideman for a number of bands across the United States, Canada, Europe. But this last 3 years working with Michael Stover at MTS, everything has just exploded. So the two new licensing distribution record deals that I've got out of the UK are also now going to promote this whole European and UK tour that we're trying to set up for the summer, which is post new record release, which is coming out very soon, the new record, Red Omen. So all of that said, and getting back into the U.S. to promote it as well, I mean, you know, last summer I was in New York for like 6 nights and PA for a whole bunch of nights, and where else was I? Austin for South by Southwest during Red Gorilla and Williamsburg, and it all that stuff, as it starts to kind of coalesce, I'll have a better idea as to when all the dates are there. But now, I love playing to people anywhere. You know, people ask me, what's the biggest, you know, audience you've played to, or, you know, 25,000 people maybe, maximum.
Oh, wow.
Here in Ontario, opener for another bigger act here in Canada. But at the same time, you know, Sonia, I just love hanging around with people at a fire or somewhere, and you know, the other night I played this little joint up the road, and it's like a 50-person room, and good food, and local beer, and local food as well, and at the end of the night, you know, I mean, I got 10 minutes left, and there's tons of people there, so I just started walking around and talking to people and going from table to table saying, what do you want to do? So I'd sit down with a table of 12, we'd all sing a tune, I'd ask them, tell me a story, we'd make it kind of our own. So even in those intimate settings, I'm happy to be playing and doing what I do.
Okay, well, tell me why. I've seen where they call you Edheads, or your fans are called Edheads. Let me rephrase that. Tell me a little bit about that, because that sounds kind of interesting.
I guess in many ways I'm a very cerebral person, and I used to have a nickname in high school with one of my friend's sisters. Used to call me Ed the Head. And my head's kind of big, I guess. When I was a kid, kids used to think, look how big I am. But I guess it's like I'm always trying to get people to not listen to what I say, but to think for themselves. And this is a big part of, like, navigating the 21st century for any person, you know, walking the face of the earth, including animals, is perception is everything, and how you log it and how you use it becomes, again, one of those things, like I was talking about, that pooling of information that allows you to critically think in different ways, even in crisis mode or not. And I've had some alarming experiences happen where, you know, I've had a student of mine that was killed by a train because he was text messaging and
wow,
listening to noise-canceling headphones. And, I mean, talented kid, you know, I had worked with him for a couple of years. His family was devastated. And I think to myself, man, if he wasn't doing that, he'd be alive today. And, I mean, that's an extreme circumstance. But still, you know, there's even information, me in my age, when I was growing up, you know, being with my grandparents and parents, I was exposed to a wide history of information. Stuff from, like, the turn of the century, 1908, 1909, to my parents' generation, which was, like, the 40s and 50s, and 60s, and my brothers and sisters' generation, which was the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and me being in there in the 70s, 80s, and here we are now, that I say to somebody something like, hey, man, have you ever heard of Bob Marley? That kid that I'm teaching,
oh, yeah.
That's 17 or 18 years old, and they'll say no. And
oh,
I think
wow.
to myself, how could you not have heard of who Bob Marley is? And
well, have
and
you
as time
to the music that they listen to now,
yeah,
that
but I mean,
a lot
that,
of
that,
it. They don't
that,
have that cultural
that,
awareness.
Yeah, that. But even it's not even just on a musical level. It's just simplistic things like historical facts, and you think that only happened 6 months ago, and you don't remember that.
No, they
so
don't.
I guess
because
that's where it kind of comes from, you know, in that regard.
Well, we didn't grow up, and I mean, I'm not very old. I'll be 40 this year, but I didn't grow up, like you said, with a cell phone in my hand or a computer in front of me. So my attention was more on things that, you know, I heard on the radio or on MTV at the time or whatever it may be. But now it's like their minds are so preoccupied with other things, you know, and the music that they listen to now is so different from back then, and they stick with that one genre that, you know, if they like rap, they stick with the rap. If they like, especially the younger generation, I've noticed with my kids, they don't step out of their comfort zone when it comes to music. But as far as they go is country. They're not going to listen to the old stuff that I used to listen to. And
but
it's
see,
kind
and
of
that,
sad because you're limiting
and,
it.
And in some cases, though, too, like, I mean, music is as it grows on you, you're growing with it. And, you know, I can even go back and go, well, yeah, when I was 10, I was only listening to rock and roll. You know, and then what's jazz? You know, I don't know what the heck that is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had a friend of mine that was just a little bit older than me, but he was, like, listening to Ruby Blake and, like, you know, stride piano, jazz. And I was like, geez, like, check this stuff out. And I was like, I didn't get it at first. It took me a while to go, oh.
Wow, yeah.
And then there's this new growth period where it's like, oh, I'm going to college. I'm going to be a jazz musician. That's all I'm going to do and be a purist and da-da-da-da-da. And then there was this phase of like, well, no, I'm on the road and I'm playing with an African band. And I guess that's what it is, too. Here I am pontificating about, you know, getting into other stuff. But you're very right, too, because I had such a wide variety of listening at all of those stages of my life. That, you know, you're right. And the other thing is, too, is that, like, okay, you know, in terms of perception, aside from music and art culture and everything that, you know, we're always involved in kids, it's just even like, maybe I take it for granted because I grew up on a farm, you have to problem solve in ways that, you know, you can't just Google. You know,
right.
the hay elevator's busted. What do we do? Well, the store's closed. We need a crowbar, a couple wrenches, and let's see if we can, you know. And you got to kind of get through those things without, you know, assistance, just using your mind and common sense. So
and
that's
a lot
the
of
other
don't
thing.
Do that
too.
Anymore.
No, we rely on everything for like Google it, search it. You know, don't pick up a book.
Because everybody tell you you can Google anything and find out pretty much everything. And I'm like, but what about how we used to just do it by hand, figure it out? I mean, you just figure it out. You don't do that anymore. I mean, they want answers and they want them quick. They don't want to figure it out. My children, I've noticed, and adults. I mean, and I'm probably guilty of it sometimes. You being on a farm probably makes it where maybe you're not as guilty of that, but me being in the city, I find myself going, oh, that messed up. Let me Google it real quick and see how I can fix it instead of actually fixing it myself. And there's just a lot of things that's changing music-wise. You know, I kind of like the old music myself. I'm going to call it old music because for me, you know, the 60s music is older. My kids say 10 years ago music go old to them. You know, they're like, why did you listen to 10 years ago? And I'm like, well, you should listen to it. You might actually like it. But they don't usually give it too much of a chance. Now, I should have asked you, I didn't think about it, but when I sent in the message to, I guess it was your manager, I should have asked them to have you sing something a little bit so people can kind of hear you. I didn't think about that one.
Would the phone quality be good enough to do that?
Sure, I think so. I mean, I think people would understand that it's not like, you know, the distortion a little bit in the way the phones sound, but
I've got my
I think
acoustic
you would sound fine.
I got an acoustic in the other room. Just let me grab it. You know what I'll do?
Okay.
I'll do something that's coming up on the new record that it's kind of I guess in a way.
That'll give the listeners a kind of idea of what you sound like, in case, you know, it would be nice if they would hit the buttons down there and go, oh, let me check them out on YouTube or, you know, or whatever. But this way they can actually hear you on.
Well, yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah.
Because I'm hoping to hear it everywhere.
And the other thing is, like, here we get an intimate setting and I'll be able to play something that'll be off the new record. And people will say, well, yeah, we got to hear it the first time right here on Honest Dialogue, which is a good thing, right?
That would be cool, yeah.
I wrote this tune because, like as I said, it has a lot to do with almost the subject matter that we're talking about today. And I seem to always be talking about this kind of stuff because I come from a very sociopolitical kind of background. My dad was the mayor of our town for 32 years.
Oh, wow.
He was the first federal coalition candidate ever in the history of Canadian politics. And the Liberal and Conservatives ousted their leader, asked my dad to run as an independent, and he won. And
oh, wow.
He was also police commissioner for 14 years, and he was chairman of York Region as well. So I can't help but not, you know, he was always, even at a young age, around the dinner table. So you're 7, my brother's 17. My other sisters are like 14 and 7 and 16, and everybody has their opinion, and then, you know, your dad looks at you at 7 and goes, well, what do you think? You know, it was important even then for him to recognize everybody's opinion and to listen even to younger people. So I guess this tune kind of summates a little of that. So I'm just going to put the phone down so I'm not trying to hold it
okay,
with my ear.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, here we go.
That's great. Okay.
Here's the way she goes. I could dance a lifetime with my sweet tobacco rose. You could build your nation with dirty hands in denim clothes. And even in our twilight, I think that everybody knows. Open mind and subtle heart are the only way she goes, and that's the way she goes. Just like an open door or window, that's the way she goes. Just like the bathwater with the baby. Acting crazy, that's the way she goes. If you've been singing this song lately, the whistle on your kettle's been chirping, and beat red is the song. Your moral shackle's been winning battles, I think you've known this all along. Another channel, it never ever changes. Wave it all goodbye, but that's the way she goes. Just like an open door or window, that's the way she goes. Just like the bathwater with the baby. Acting crazy, that's the way she goes. If you've been singing this song lately, sha-la-la-la-la-la-la, we know it's wrong, but we say it's right. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la, we know it's black, but we say it's white. La-la-la-la-la-la, you gotta put up a hell of a fight. Yes, you do. We're somewhere in the middle of the ending, so summarize your fears and woes. It's like a fragrant golden season, it purifies you and your soul. My
water with the baby. That's the way she goes. Too many people acting crazy. That's just the way she goes. If you've been singing this song lately, that's the way she goes. If you
whistle for you. I got a hook on that. That was great. I like it. I like it. Now, what would you say? What genre would you put that in?
I'd put it in Americana. I mean, you know, a buddy of mine, that's been, you know, Canadian friend of mine that's been living in Germany for a number of years working Cirque du Soleil, and now he's his own kind of independent thing. But, you know, he said, well, what's the tune like? And I said, well, it's kind of Americana. And why? Because it deals with the conversations that I've had with so many people while I've been traveling across the U.S. and things that have been said to me, things that I've said to other people. But at the same time, there's also intermingling of, like, philosophies of my grandfather. You know, like, that line in there, you know, dirty hands make clean money, kind of comes from him. You can build your nation with dirty hands and denim clothes. You know, our countries and the things that they're going through, and as hard as it is for me to say, the collapse, socially, morally, economically, they were all created by hardworking people every single day of their lives on a municipal level. It's not the corporate federal aspect of the government that's now gone awry. The country is built by sweat, blood, tears. You know, and I always say to people, you want to know who built the town, who built the nation? Go out to the graveyards and look at those headstones, because those people pushing up daisies are the ones that are responsible for this place. And you got to remember that kind of stuff. It's not the people in business suits walking around Wall Street that make stuff happen. It's every day the people get up at 5 in the morning, get in their car, drive 2 hours to go to a job to make next to nothing just to be able to survive. So I guess that's where it's coming from, and I'm hoping it translates that way.
I get it. I got it when I was listening to it. I like it. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
We only have, like, I think a minute and a half. So what I'm going to ask you to do now is, if there's anything you want to add, add it. And also make sure that you let people know where they can find you at, like your social media sites or your website or whatever.
Sure.
So make sure that everybody knows how to get to you.
Well, everybody can come by edroman.net anytime they want. All my social media buttons are there between Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. And you can also check me out on SoundCloud, Special Ed Roman. You can get the Ed Roman app for free for Android or your iPhone device. It has all my social networking, photos, videos, gigs, dates, interviews, reviews, links to all that stuff. Right in your pocket, and it's nothing. And please listen for the new record. There's going to be some postings coming out about that really soon. And also, Lay One Down, which is for Heart Songs for Veterans, the video that I've released for that with a bunch of other ambassadors for Heart Songs, which is the acoustic record put out for veterans to raise money for vets, is going to be released very soon as well. So please stay attuned to that, if you will.
All right, well, I've definitely enjoyed you on the show, and I'm going to go ahead and actually like your Facebook page because I just looked at it. And you go ahead, and you have a great afternoon, and I will definitely be sending you the link for this, okay?
Please, I'll share the potatoes out of it.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
You have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye.